everyone.
I'm Nicole.
And I'm Crystal. Welcome back to Las Brujas and Friends podcast.
A podcast where we talk about international stories, tales, legends, and myths.
Sprinkled with true crime, extraterrestrial, and the like.
These accounts have been passed down through family and friends.
We're sharing these stories to keep them going.
And we want to continue to pass them down for culture, fascination, and for you guys to feel the same fear we felt when we heard them.
This is a disclosure. We're not professionals. We're not historians. We just love everything scary.
So today I'm going to be talking about orphan trains, paranormal stories in regards to railroads. Accidents that have happened that were around the time period where orphan trains were a must.
Orphan trains, that sounds
before foster care.
And I'm going to be talking about the Ouija board.
Dun, dun, dun. Oh, could I say that?
Yeah. What is that from? The Croods. The little sloth.
No, not the Croods.
Yes.
Is that Minions?
Oh, the Minions. Illumination. Yeah. Oh, wait, can I say that? That's okay. Whatever. We'll be fine. We're not too popular yet.
So let me take you back. I wonder if yours is older than mine. What's your time period? Mine's 1854.
Same time.
No way.
Around the same time. 19th century, yeah. We didn't plan this.
Mm-mm.
Okay. Let's dive in. You're going to go first?
I will go first, yes. Okay. Because I think there's going to be more suspense with the Ouija board.
What I learned about the Ouija board, I was kind of disappointed. So we'll see what happens.
Orphan trains. This goes as a timeline from 1854 to 1929. This goes from the East State, so New York, all the way down to the Midwest. Now, the population relocated about 200,000 children and relocating them to homes.
200,000?
Yes. Mm-hmm. From that time period. So 1854 to 1929.
That's a lot of kids.
Yes, and these were kids that were abandoned, abused, and just orphaned. There was three charitable institutions in me researching. The Children's Village, Children's Aid Society, New York Fondling Hospital. These were all by wealthy donors.
That's sad.
And so just a little background. Around the 1850s, more than 30,000 children alone in New York City lived on the street. They formed gangs, they stole, they tried working. Many families orphaned their children. They could not afford housing. Or they didn't have the desire to care for their children because of what was going on in that time period.
Yeah.
The first one that came along was Children's Village, started trains, and first it was just with boys. So what they would do was get all of these kids in train carts and send them on their way by a mission that allowed these kids to be adopted into other households, whether they were farmers or businesses that needed extra help. There was no cost to take these kids in.
Dang,
yes, so like their slavery. Cost, yeah, that's all it was.
That's really bad.
So it was free of charge to get extra help.
Oh my God, like that. For children?
But I mean, you don't have to pay for anything, but that's what it was. Like all the kids just stand in a line and they're just, okay, I'll take this one. And it was based off of skin color, eye color, hair color, all that stuff.
Oh dang.
Yes. 14, they could just work.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Whoa. Where was this happening? In New York?
It started off at just males and then eventually female children as little as 14 months, depending if they were kids. Like girls could be used as housework.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
And then, of course, with girls, they wanted them to go to school and be a little bit more educated than males because males really? Was more of the outside.
Usually they keep the girls inside yeah. and the men go to school mm-hmm. to learn a trade. That's mm-hmm. weird.
30,000 kids in New York City, 3,000 kids per year from 1855 to 1875 were sent through 45 states as well as Canada and Mexico. So there was two stories that I found, I guess, part of the orphan trains because there was logs that they had, but a lot of the websites that I visited said that they needed to go through the museum because they had the actual book, all the art, you know,
they
didn't want to digitize everything.
Yeah.
So the first one that I found
still
was...
still gotta go to the library, guys.
Mm-hmm, Ghost Children of Iron Hill. This is in Charles City, Iowa in 1920. A story loaded with passengers of orphan children caught fire. Train cars back then were not made of steel. They were still made of wood.
Oh,
so they
what?
Caught fire. Many passengers became trapped and could not escape. The location nearby where this incident happened, the accident, is known to this day as the White Farm. Hikers and visitors hear screams and cries of children in the woods. At times, you can still smell burnt wood and smoke.
Oh no.
Some witnesses say they have seen a little girl in a white dress wandering the woods. Evidence that has been discovered in that area is a burnt baby doll half buried near the track.
People see this?
They discovered it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they discovered mm-hmm. it.
Later
oh,
on, yeah. Shoot. The Midwestern ghosts and haunting mm-hmm. did have a comment from somebody who was anonymous. November 11th, 2014, says that there was a rumor that soared the internet and there's no record of any orphan train stopping in Charles City. I looked up Floyd County and did see two data entries of the orphan train. So in 1916, oh. 12 children did go to Floyd County because that's where Charles City was or is. And in 1917, there was another one, Miss Comstock. She was a famous person, part of this whole like wealthy donator that had 12 children go with her as well. And in there, it gives you logs of like, because this website had all of the counties listed in Iowa, but not everyone was highlighted. So the hyperlink that I had to Floyd, where this Charles City was at, mm-hmm. says the names of the kids, the ages, and all that stuff.
How old were they?
The oldest I thought was like 12.
Oh, man. Mm-hmm.
These are just kids that are just there, you know, fending for themselves. Yeah, they have no idea. Orphans. They're just put on a train. Here you go. Good luck, you know.
They That's have it. No idea. Mm-hmm. They're just...
And 3 out of 4 during that time period were to have said, made it well. They were well off, like, towards the end.
You got lucky. Mm-hmm. They're, like, one of the lucky few.
Versus other ones that were...
I'm sure everything.
Yeah.
Everything bad.
Mm-hmm. The other story that I had nearby a railroad track is in San Antonio, Texas. It's by the San Juan Mission, and it's by the crossing of Villa Main and Shane. There was a school bus accident in the 1930s and 1940s. Mm-hmm. A nun who was driving a school mm-hmm. bus home,
a nun. Mm-hmm,
filled with kids, had stalled on the train tracks. So,
how do you stall on the train tracks?
In the 1930s and 40s. You had field trips that lasted dark. I mean, obviously they didn't have street lights.
But they didn't have regulations either. Like
yes,
now.
But this lady was driving the kids home and they're asleep, so she didn't want to wake them. So she tried turning on the ignition, you know. It stalled over train tracks and she heard the train this was coming.
From Jesus. she was like,
this the is light it. To the train yeah. was burnt out, so you couldn't see the train. You could only hear it.
Oh my goodness.
Yes. In her last attempt to try and start the bus one last time, the train ripped the bus in half. Yes. So when the bus was ripped in half, she flew out the windshield and survived.
Whoa.
Kids were killed instantly. Yes. Yeah.
When they were sleeping.
Mm-hmm. A few weeks later, the nun had returned to the site of the incident and decided that she was unable and she wanted to end her life.
Oh, no. This is so bad.
But aren't so nuns bad. Supposed to, like, not commit suicide?
They're not. I'm sure they're not. But
that's like, okay.
Can you imagine the position she was in?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So, check this out. Finally... She parked her car over the tracks and awaited the next train. As the next train approached, she heard familiar voices. The nun got out of her car to look around in hopes to thank the Good Samaritan, and no one was there. Her car was pushed over the train tracks. She parked right on top. It was pushed over. Yes, so the train went by. She said, well, life is saved or whatever. So when she goes to look back to see nobody's there, she goes to look at the back of her car because she's in awe. There's small handprints on her trunk.
The kids saved her. They mm-hmm. knew it wasn't her fault.
So it is said anyone who parks near that location, the children will push the vehicle to safety. There have been baby powder experiences that skeptics will put baby powder on their trunk, park over it, and we'll see small handprints.
Ooh, that's trippy, but I want to try it.
Yeah. And so many locals have confirmed seeing a small girl holding a teddy bear. This is at ghostcitytours.com. Yeah. So that's a trip.
That's in Texas? Mm-hmm. That's not too
that
far.
That one's San Antonio, Texas. Might yeah.
have to take a drive this summer mm-hmm. with a lot of baby powder on the car.
But that's crazy that these kids obviously didn't know what was going to happen mm-hmm. to them. And look at them trying to help others that are trying to end their lives.
Yeah.
And the poor woman's guilty thinking that she, yeah. you know... But I'm just like, wait a minute, what you're a nun. Trip. You can't be doing all that.
She said, forget
it. Uh-huh.
I'm coming home. Mm-hmm. And they said, no, not yet. Sorry, ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
Can't come yet. We choose, not you.
That's what I got for my orphan trains or
orphan trains. That's such a trip. I didn't think that this country could get any worse after the history.
Yeah, in the 1930s, they stopped because then foster care was implemented.
Yeah, I'm sure there was a lot of people that were out there going like, what is going on?
Yeah.
Why do we have trains and there was a, full of kids?
At that time period, too, there was a lot of diseases, yellow fever and all that stuff. So people were dying and these kids were off to fend for themselves and steal and do whatever they needed to do to survive. So they were scrappers.
Yeah, can you imagine all the women that died from birth, giving birth and all that stuff? And then there's nobody wants to take these kids back in the day.
Yeah.
These poor kids. They didn't do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Dang, that's... I want to try. I want to go to Austin. Austin? Near Austin? Oh, San Antonio. That's trippy. I'm going to look that up. I want to see pictures.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
So the girl that... there was more to this story that they saw the girl with the teddy bear. I guess there was a woman who saw her as she was crossing the railroad tracks. She offered her to give her a ride home because the girl was on a walking home.
Mm-hmm.
Took her to her house. The girl was hesitant to try and get off. So she's like, it's okay, I'll go get your mom for you. Gets out of the car, goes to reassure, smile, look back at the girl.
She ain't there.
She's not in the car. So she goes back to the car to see. The seatbelt's still locked tight. But the girl's gone.
Did she have a dash cam?
Oh!
That's what I want to see. I was showing Nicole the other day these videos about this guy working at the frozen yogurt place.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And they have it all on camera.
Yeah.
Look it up. I think, who was it? Lois Lane. Her channel. It was a TikTok.
Trippy.
Because you always hear things like this. Little hands on the car. You see things. But there's never any proof. In this video, tons of proof.
Yes. And so I had told her as she's showing me these. Because the people that are recording are in awe. And they hear the sounds. So they go investigate.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, if I know that I hear something, I'm not gonna go look to see a spirit looking back at me like, hello, you heard me?
I
like,
would.
No, I'm out.
I'm the person where
heard
I'm like,
you. Bye.
See, no, I'm the person like, did you hear that noise? And then I walk towards the noise.
Yep. What's that noise? And the spirit's just gonna be like, it was me.
And I'm like, oh, it was the spirit, guys, don't worry.
Yeah.
We're good. I'll report back. Yeah, I'm the person that always gets killed first. And
there's a space, you
in a
stay on that side.
Yeah, I'm on that side.
We'll have walkie-talkies.
Yeah, on the phone, on the watch.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you see anything?
No. Okay. Is that your stories?
That's good, yep.
Woo, we're going to dive into the Ouija board. I'm sure many of you out there know what a Ouija board is.
Never played with it.
You've never played with a Ouija board?
No, because... No.
Guess what we're doing on our next episode. Okay. For those of you, if you don't know what a Ouija board is, I'm going to describe it a little bit. So it's a cardboard. It's the size of...
Well, just make one.
You can make one. It's the size of an average board game. So, you know, like a rectangle, right? And, okay, at the top of the board, top left and right side of the board, the left side says yes, the right side says no, in the middle it says Ouija. The name is just there just for it to be there.
The label.
It doesn't, yeah, it's just a label. And then in the middle of the board, in like a semicircle, there's two rows, and it's the alphabet, and it's in order. It's not like a keyboard or anything.
The key.
A through Z.
Mm-hmm.
So the top row is... A through M, yeah, and the second row is M through Z. Under it are the numbers 1 through 9, and then there's a 0 at the end. And at the very bottom, it has the words goodbye. That's what a Ouija board looks like, and you can make one yourself, or you can go to the store and buy one. I went to Target today, I couldn't find it. A lot of people have complained because they don't believe a Ouija board should be sold in places like mainstream retailers, like Target, Walmart, wherever other stores like that in the world. A lot of people complain. They say it's dangerous and it should not be sold or marketed towards children. So maybe that's why I didn't see it at Target today. Maybe they pulled it. But I used to see it all the time.
I think I've seen it before at a big retailer. I don't know if it was Target or Walmart, but I'm pretty sure I've seen it.
I couldn't find it today. So it's not in this house right now. But
sorry.
What else? Okay, so the other thing about the Ouija board is it comes with something called a planchette. It's that heart-shaped.
Oh, I thought it was a triangle.
It's
like a spade?
Almost like a spade. Some people call it a heart shape. Some people call it, a magnifying glass. Some people call it a teardrop. Okay. It's that sort of shape. And then in the middle of it has a hole, an opening. And it's towards the point because that's what the letter or whatever the spirit's trying to communicate with you. That's what's supposed to be like. If the little hole thingy goes over the N, then N is part of the answer or whatever the word.
So it's not what it's pointing at. It's what's inside the little circle, inside. The magnifying glass. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. The design changes depending on who or where you get it from. Like we said, I've made one. I don't know where it's at.
I'll just do the little fortune ones.
The fortune paper? That's not communicating with spirits.
Tell me my favorite number.
I remember I made one and I don't remember where, for what reason or where it's at anymore. But I've made one. But the one that I described is kind of the mainstream, what you see everywhere.
Yeah.
Okay, so the Ouija board first started being advertised for sale in 1891. So it was a few years later than you. Like 40 years later. They had
to give the kids something to do.
It was advertised as a talking board and as a magical device that answered questions about the past, present, and future with marvelous accuracy. That was what it was advertised as. Also, the ad said that the board is a link between the known and unknown, the material and immaterial. This is what they were advertising this board to be. Isn't that crazy? Like, sure, here, buy this. Talk to spirits on the other side. Mm-hmm. With marvelous accuracy, it will happen. Can you imagine? And this thing has been sold for almost 130 years now.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's insane.
Isn't it? It was created by the Kennard Novelty Company. And one of the investors of the company is Elijah Bond. He's a local attorney. And then we'll talk about him later. There are a lot of stories about who really originally created the Ouija board. And there's a lot of stories pointing to different people. But the consensus is that this company made it. And yeah, it's a company of investors. And that's pretty much it. Because I guess back in the 19th century, spirituality was really big in Europe. And then, of course, it became really big in America. And in this time, I guess this company decided
Where did it start? Like around East States?
I don't know. I think I talk about it somewhere in here. What was it? New York.
Okay.
Well, no, that's talking about something else. I think I talk about it at one point in here.
Okay.
We'll get to it. But this company pretty much just said, oh, look, Americans are all into spirituality and trying to talk to spirits on the other side. We're going to profit off of it. And they created the Ouija board. At least that's what I got from all of the research I did. It's nothing more serious than that, unfortunately.
Wow.
Right? That's how I felt. I was like, all this time, I thought the Ouija board meant something so deep that somebody, some saint, some witch, some god somewhere, like that it had a story behind. No.
It's like crayons.
Yeah. Somebody just, here you go. We're going to profit off of spirituality. Mm-hmm. That's pretty much what the Ouija board is. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So around this time, like I was saying, spirituality was so big. In 1848, there was a lot of buzz around the Fox sisters. So there were these sisters in upstate New York, and mm-hmm. they claimed to receive messages from spirits who would tap or knock on walls to answer questions. Kind of like when you see in ghost shows now, when people are like, is anybody here? Knock. Is anybody here? Make the lights flicker. Stuff like that. So that's, I guess, when it started to become a thing to talk to spirits.
Okay.
And since around this time, kind of like you were talking about, a lot of illnesses, sicknesses, people were dying before their time. A lot of people were dying, like not even reaching 50 or 40 years old, war, so many things. People were so desperate to connect with loved ones. And a few other popular ways people were trying to communicate with the other side was automatic writing or table turning parties.
What the heck? Table turning? Is this the old disc jockeys?
That's what I thought. At first, I was like, table turning party? What were these people
doing? They had pianos playing by themselves. That was, yeah.
Automatic writing is when somebody writes unconsciously.
Like talking in tongues.
Kind of, but with through writing. Mm-hmm. And then table turning parties is when a group of people sit around a table and place their hands on the table and watch it shake. You know, have you ever seen, like...
I'm over here thinking it's the cloth pulling the table out.
No, that's magicians. But it's like, have you ever seen... I know I've seen this image. It's probably some weird GIF somewhere where everyone's sitting at the table and it's like a seance and the table starts shaking and moving. Mm-hmm. It's a table turning party. That's what it is. Apparently...
The original twister.
Mrs. Lincoln, Mrs. Abraham Lincoln, Mrs. Mary Todd Lincoln held seances because they had a son that died at 11 years old from fevers. So he got some sort of sickness and he passed away. And she would hold seances at the White House. Spooky.
Could that mean there's a portal there?
In the White House.
Yeah.
Yeah. What? So back then in the 19th century, it wasn't a big deal to try and communicate with the dead. Mm-hmm. It wasn't seen as opening portals. Nobody was into that yet. Mainstream. I'm sure there are a few
people. No, this was just them getting their feet wet.
Yeah.
The foot in the door to try and get some attention.
Mm-hmm. And the Ouija board was made to make money, not to potentially harm anybody.
Yeah.
It was literally just a game to make money. It's not deeper than that, guys. This is my whole life. I thought it was deeper.
It had to have been.
It was not deeper. It was all for profit. Oh, and the name Ouija has no significance. At least not what you would correlate to the Ouija board. No, nothing. It's nothing special, guys. Ouija isn't, you know,
from, are they initials, like, from the people who made it or what?
No, nothing. There was a rumor that went around that where they said we, like French means yes. And then I guess German, the G means yes. Yes, yes.
I thought it was Ouija. No?
Ouija? I don't know. I say Ouija. It could be Ouija, and that translates into French and German, yes, yes. Everyone thought that meant something. No, it wasn't named after that. The name came from one of the investor's sister-in-law. So the guy, Bond, his sister-in-law, Helen Peters, her and a few others were playing with the board, and they were figuring out what they should call it. So she was like, let's ask the board, because I think she had like some sort of medium psychic ability, or at least that's what she said.
I couldn't spell.
Wait, hold on. I mean, there could be significance of the name, but not like some spiritual. Well, I'll tell you. Okay, so they started playing with it, and the name Ouija came through. And when she asked the board, what does Ouija mean? It spelled out good luck. And they all thought, like, ooh. Like, that's what all of the resources I read, they were all kind of like, that's kind of eerie. That must be the name we have to call it.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm. But
and it's the complete opposite.
Researchers found through letters between the founders of this company, it showed that the sister-in-law, Helen, admired a famous author, and this lady was also a women's rights activist, and her name, her pseudonym, not her real name, but the activist's name is Ouida. And Helen was wearing a locket with Ouida's picture in it. So they're either saying Helen did it on purpose and just switched out the D for the J. So this game could possibly be named after a woman activist from the 19th century. Or Helen subconsciously spelled it out. But either way, all signs point to Helen admiring this very famous activist.
I'm not scared anymore.
Me neither. That's why I was telling you earlier. Earlier I was like, I'm not scared of Ouija anymore.
But I mean, there are stories that once you get one and you open one or activate it or who knows what, you can get rid of it.
Because, okay, the Ouija itself is nothing. Now we know.
It's just cardboard.
It's literally just cardboard. It was made for profit.
So then it's just a superstition of others thinking that they cannot, that they are not able to be released from it?
I guess it doesn't really matter what you use to connect to the other side. Because, mm-hmm. like, people use pen and paper. People use tables, apparently, back in the day. People just summon through themselves, you know, their mediums. I guess whatever it could be that you can use to speak to the other side, but it's not necessarily the board. unless you put your energy into it and say that it's a portal. I get it all has to do with, I guess, energies and stuff.
It has to, yeah. So I think it has to have some type of anchor to communicate with others. So if we are supposed to guide ourselves in having the letters or ask questions mm-hmm. or whatever it is, it's anchoring to you, but are you able to disconnect from being the anchor, or will it just continue to be
you can disconnect with you? I'll talk about it.
Okay.
I have a lot of information about this stupid thing.
Let's unplug it.
Unplug it. Okay. Some other things. Okay, so back in the day, they were trying to get a patent on it because they didn't want anybody else to steal their idea.
Yeah.
Because they created this amazing thing that was selling hotcakes. Yeah. Good luck, Weta.
Yeah.
So they were having issues getting the patent because the people in the patent company were like, well, you have to prove that it works because you're claiming that it miraculously accurate or whatever, right? So they had the patent chief officer come and he said, the only way I'll know if this works is if it spells my name correctly. And we don't know if Bond or Helen or anybody else that was there knew what this guy's name was, but they played, the thing spelled the guy's name, and he gave him the patent.
Wow.
And apparently he was very shaken that the board knew his name. And that's how they got the patent. It's all a joke. I'm so disappointed in this story. After I did all this information, I was like, I was so scared of the Ouija for so many years.
I never played it, but I heard so many stories of that. So I was like, yeah, no.
So disappointed. This is why I was so scared of the Ouija board. Because in 1973, The Exorcist came out. And the plot, if anybody doesn't want to know what the plot of The Exorcist is, fast forward like 30 seconds. The plot of The Exorcist is that a 12-year-old girl named Regan gets possessed by a demon after playing with a Ouija board by herself. That's where the stigma comes from. That's when everyone...
Are you supposed to play with two people?
You're supposed... Well, I mean, it says you should, but...
Up to four players.
Up to four players, right? 4 to 6 players. 2 to 6 players or whatever it is. That whole thing came from the movie. That you shouldn't play the Ouija by yourself because then you're more vulnerable. You're opening portals. You're opening connections with the other side.
Portals are everywhere.
Everywhere. Wherever you want them, apparently. Mm-hmm. And if you have a lot of iron. Was it iron? Mercury? Whatever. I don't know. So that was the plot of The Exorcist. And that's when everyone started to see the Ouija board in a different light. Now we're talking people and all their stories with the Ouija board and scary stuff.
Paranormal.
And there's actually a lot of religions. After this movie came out, a lot of religions started to denounce the Ouija board. There's even a story how they would burn, this one church in New Mexico burned Ouija boards along with Harry Potter books.
Aww.
Okay.
That's terrible.
Why Harry Potter?
Oh, Hufflepuff.
That's fiction. Ouija's fiction, yeah. Too, if you think about it. Well, you know, everybody's got the thing, I guess. Okay, let's talk about how you play the game, since you've never played the game. After The Exorcist, like you were saying, it's recommended that you play with at least two people. I've read places that it should be a guy and a girl. I don't know if that really matters. It's recommended that you use the board at night and that you create an atmosphere.
Of course, candles everywhere.
That's the next thing I was going to say.
Mm-hmm.
Candles.
Seance style.
My recommendation, if you're going to play Ouija and you are going to try and connect with something on the other side, use white candles. Don't use any dark candles. Use white because you don't want any dark energy and dark energy...
How is the dark energy going to know the difference between a white candle and a dark candle?
Exactly what you just said. White light brings positive energy. Dark brings darkness. Use white candles. That's just my little recommendation to anybody who wants to create an ambiance when they're playing Ouija. Make sure you turn everything off. All your electronics, TVs, all that stuff. Make sure it's all off. Okay, so you sit across from the other person. And you have to, like, touch knees. So you sit cross-leg, I guess, on the floor. I don't know. You shouldn't put the Ouija on a table. Apparently, you're supposed to rest the Ouija board on your legs.
So for crisscross, like this, facing each other, it's our on knees our knees, touching, and that's it's where on it's our at. Knees. Yeah. Okay, cool. Okay.
And okay, and then you have to kind of decide what kind of questions you want to ask before. Only one person is supposed to act as the medium. So even if me and you are playing together, you shouldn't be trying to, I don't want to say control the planchette, but pretty much like only one person should be receiving the messages and really feeling the planchette.
The person that can read the writing in the dark.
Right? With just one white candle. Have one person act as a medium. Okay. You place your fingers on the planchette very lightly, just two fingers on the planchette. Yes, that's what it's called, a little plancha.
I know. That's what I thought you said. I'm like, oh, the plancha.
The plancha. Two fingers on the planchette. You're supposed to move it around the board to warm it up. I can't take myself seriously right now.
Black and Decker.
Make sure everyone's energy is strong. So if you're feeling like depressed or sad or upset and you don't feel like you're there,
those white candles ain't gonna help you.
Don't play it. Just don't play it. Mm-hmm. You have to be patient. Start with yes or no questions. Do not joke around. Do not laugh. Do not mock it. Don't do any of those things, okay? Treat it with respect.
Yeah.
Because even though the Ouija is not supposed to be like some crazy thing that they created, you are now, if you are using it, you are now using this thing as something to communicate with the other side. So you're putting your energy into it. So that's what makes the Ouija a little bit scary.
So no lotto numbers.
You can try. If you want to try, you could try. Don't ever ask for physical signs. Don't tell it to throw something across the room. Don't tell it to turn on a light. Don't do any of those things. Just yes or no questions, simple questions. Through the board, people. Through the board. I'm trying to keep you out of danger here, okay? And some other tips that I found. Don't disconnect. These aren't so scary, but don't disconnect from the planchette if you're in the middle of a session because it can ruin the connection that you made. So, like, if you get freaked out, if this thing starts moving around like crazy, don't take your hands off because you have to end the session.
How do you end the session?
I'll tell you. If a spirit starts communicating with you through the board by counting down, this is when it starts to get a little creepy. If it's counting down or going through the alphabet, immediately end the session by saying goodbye. This is a common theme in Ouija users have contacted a malevolent spirit that is trying to leave the board. So if it's counting down or going through the alphabet one by one, you take your planchette, you go to goodbye, say goodbye, we're ending the session, and you're done. That's how you end a session, is you take it to the goodbye. And you say, goodbye, we are done here. I will not be coming back. Yeah, you're
disconnect.
Another thing is if a spirit starts communicating with you by making the planchette make a figure 8 or an infinity symbol, then immediately end the session because it's another malevolent spirit that's trying to get through.
What are they going to do? Attach to you?
Yes.
It's supposed to bring you good luck.
The Ouija? Don't listen to her. Listen to me.
That's what the original box said.
It did?
What you just said in the beginning.
Oh, yeah. Ouija. Yeah. Good luck.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If you're being... don't ever use the board in a cemetery. You're not supposed to use it in your house. I don't know. I guess use it in the backyard. That's at the park. Amazing. Can you imagine being at the park with a candle? With a Ouija board, would call the cops so fast.
Yeah.
If you begin to suspect that you were in contact with a malevolent spirit immediately in the session, it also helps to leave the physical space you are in to sever the energy between the group and the spirit. That's why you shouldn't do it in your home. If you speak to a spirit who identifies themselves as Zozo, Z-O-Z-O, then immediately end the session. And lastly, for tips... never burn a Ouija board. I remember being in middle school and me and my friend played the Ouija board. We got really freaked out and we were going to burn it because that's what we had read at the time, probably in a book because we didn't have internet like today. And you're not supposed to burn it. What you're supposed to do is keep the planchette and the board separate and just don't ever use it again. Mm-hmm. That's it. That's all you can do. But you're not supposed to burn it. I don't know what could happen if you burn it. Bad things happen. And then there was one more thing, I think. Always make sure you close the session. Don't believe everything the board tells you, because spirits can play with you. They play tricks on people all the time. That's why earlier I think I said don't ask it stupid questions. Like, don't ask it when you're going to die, because the spirit could be like, tomorrow. And you might not die tomorrow. I mean, mm-hmm. Hopefully you don't die the next day.
But hopefully this Ouija board comes with an index card to remember all of these rules too.
If you're going to play the Ouija board and be serious, you better do your research. Mm-hmm. Some story I read, I don't know if I read this one or I saw this one on YouTube, where these girls are playing the Ouija board and they said they were playing it at 7:30. And this is common, I guess, in people who play Ouija board. They were 7:30 p.m. And when she looked at the time when they ended the session, it was 11:30. And she's like, we only asked it like 4 questions. But time, you lose time when you're actually connected to something.
Yeah, no.
Right? That tripped me out a lot. And I guess it's a common theme that could happen. She's like, we asked 4 questions. And there's no way we were playing the board for that long. Isn't that trippy?
Yeah.
That's trippy. Mm-hmm. So let me see. I have some stories that I found. There was one really good one. I'm going to read it the way it's written off of this website. I think it's Reader's Digest. You remember Reader's Digest? Yeah. Those little tiny booklets? Justin played with a Ouija board one day with several of his friends. They asked questions, but instead of the planchette moving to certain letters, it began to move in a strange pattern. It went to all 4 corners of the board and made an X, he tells Reader's Digest. Then it just went in circles. The next time he used the board, it was with a different friend at his house. Again, the planchette moved in the same strange pattern. I felt it like it was some kind of hex, he continues. Later that night, when he was sleeping, he felt a forceful hand grab his arm and wake him up. Everyone else in the house was sound asleep. Yeah. Justin? Right? His name was Justin? Yeah.
Oh my God.
Justin, good luck. There was one other one. Do you want to play Ouija?
Nope.
Are you sure?
Yeah. I'll practice gardening.
Oh, this was a good one. Okay. Owen started playing with Ouija boards when he was a child, and he has continued to experience paranormal phenomenon ever since. My grandfather on my dad's side died before I was born, he starts. He and my dad were estranged, so my dad never spoke of him or had pictures of him around. You know where this is going, right? One day, Owen began seeing and talking to a person he called Michael. Unbeknownst to him, Michael was his grandfather's name. Mm-hmm. Finally, my parents sat me down and showed me a picture of a man that I had never seen and asked me if I knew who it was. I told him it was Michael and that he was there with us right then. Mm-hmm. And it was his grandfather.
Wow.
So there are a lot of stories out there on the internet about people who play with a Ouija board and have connected to the other side. I have never connected to anybody on the other side playing Ouija. I used to play Ouija board by myself all the time in my room. All the time.
Nope.
Nothing ever happened.
Nope.
We would play with candles lit up. We would play at midnight. We would play at 3 a.m. Nothing ever happened.
Did it ever move for you?
It never moved. We were moving it. I knew when my friends were moving. I was like, you're moving. And then it never said anything serious. Like, nothing believable. So I knew it wasn't.
I think for when real. I grew up in elementary school, we had the girls who were the pretend witches.
Oh, that was me.
Yes. And you would lay in the bathroom or something, and then we did some type of, like, seance or something. And, yeah, I remember that. As far as I got.
You did seances. What hand thing?
You said something, and then, like, with the energy of the other person putting their hand underneath.
Oh, and then your hands would float up?
Yes.
That was cool. That's actually, like, a scientific thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think so. That's still fun. I believed it. You remember Light as a Feather, Stiff as a Board?
That's the one. Yeah. That was the one.
We did that. Okay, short story. We did that at my house one time at a sleepover. I swear to God, my friend floated. I swear to God to this day, and it's all the same. It's the same group of friends. She floated for like a split second. She lifted off the ground. I swear to God, you can ask everybody. She was out cold. She floated, and I think mom came into the room.
No.
I swear to God, I remember it like it happened yesterday. We were really into this. I think we were watching that movie at the same time.
The Witch?
No, The Craft.
Oh.
Remember the four witches? They were in high school, and she goes like this, and she changes her hair color. You don't remember that part?
I've never seen that movie.
You never seen The Craft?
I've seen Practical Magic.
Oh, that's a good movie, too.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. When they all jump off the roof. That's mm-hmm. my favorite part. Mm-hmm. Anyways, that's all I have for the Ouija. If you want to read more, there's tons of stuff on YouTube and online. Especially for Ouija board, forget it. Everywhere.
You didn't even need a commercial to sell it.
For what?
The Ouija board.
No. No. Almost 130 years this thing has been going strong. Mm-hmm. 130 years. That's a long time for something to be that successful. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't even meant for anything.
I wonder if they've even made a digital... A digital game.
Do you think they have an app? See, I'm kind of scared. Do I want to look at this?
Your phone's going to crash.
Probably. We're in a Mercury retrograde anyways. Everything's crashing. There's a spirit board. There's a lot of spirit boards on here. I'm canceling. Cancel. Erase it. Get it out of my history. If you guys want to download a Ouija board on your phone, you can. That's another thing added to my no list. I'm not scared of it because now I know the history of it. Still not going to buy one. I won't play with one ever again. I don't think
so. What if the kids bring it into the house?
Good luck to them.
Throw it out.
We're going to be those people.
You better go to the park.
I'm going to keep it out of this house. Don't bring any of those dark things in here. We got enough.
So how do you get rid of it then?
What do you mean?
Because I think I asked earlier, how do you get rid of the bad energy? Or the energy, how do you... disengage the anchor.
You have to end the session.
You have to say goodbye, and it has to say goodbye to you?
No. You have to end it. You have to drag it over to the goodbye. You have to physically drag it there, physically say or vocally say goodbye. I'm ending this session and be done with it. And since you're not supposed to do it in your own home, when you leave that area, then you're leaving all of that there because you ended the session. You always have to end every session when you do anything spiritual.
But I'm pretty sure people who use Ouija boards were in the house.
I know. And that's why they're possessed for life. Yeah,
nope.
For life.
Nope.
Nothing ever followed me. Oh, don't say never. Never say never. I'm not going to finish that
leave
thought.
Leave it here.
Oh, that's right. We're moving. Mm-hmm. It's going to stay all in this. Sorry for the next people who live here. This wraps up this episode. Subscribe to Las Brujas and Friends podcast.
Make sure to follow us on Instagram at Las Brujas Podcast and on Twitter at Brujas Podcast. We would love to hear from you.
Any feedback, suggestions, or personal testimonials that confirm these stories, we would love to read them.
A question for you. Would you go on an adventure and search for the orphan trains? Or
have you ever played with the Ouija board and ever connected with anybody on the other side?
Join us next week.
We post every Friday at least, sometimes more.
Bye.